Chaz and AJ, Napoli Nissan of Milford News.
You're about to hear new developments in the missing mom case. It's been a mystery what happened to a New Canaan mom, missing now for a month. Her estranged husband was arrested for evidence tampering. Her blood found on items police say he was dumping in the garbage with his girlfriend. And attorney Norm Pattis has been friends of the show for many, many years, over a decade. And he was at first coming on and kind of commentating on the case and the developments. And I asked him a question, well, how would you defend this person if you were that person? And he went through this five-minute thing where we're like, wow, that was pretty good. And then a couple of days later, boom, he's defending this guy.
Yep.
Before we get into what you're going to break here on the show, Norm, has the reaction to you taking this case equal any other case in your history? You've defended some pretty high-profile cases and some pretty, quote, bad people. I would say bad people. But have you ever had this type of reaction to taking a case?
Well, first, I'm not really paying much attention to the reaction, so I gather there is much of one. But, I mean, in 1999, I think, I found myself defending myself after getting a couple million dollar judgment for a prisoner who was beaten in an escape attempt. This is the Kevin King case. And there was all, you know, I think I didn't even know who Bill O'Reilly was. I was invited on the O'Reilly Factor and maligned. So, you know, then people have gotten upset with me before, and they probably will in the future. It goes with the turf. And, you know, I mean, I don't lose a lot of sleep over it, candidly.
Okay. Now, because the state, I feel like most of the state feels like this guy did it. We're all kind of pissed. We all kind of want to see him, like, get locked up and, you know, get his due justice. We want to know where she is. There's a lot of emotion here now.
Well, you know, everybody needs to take a deep breath and follow the evidence where it leads. There will be a trial, and based on what I know right now, I'm pretty confident he'll be found not guilty of any charge associated with this, even tampering with the evidence.
Now, when you say based on what you know right now, do you want to share any of that with us?
I can share some, but not all. You know, we filed motions yesterday asking to unseal certain court documents involving the custody study. And I'm not at liberty to talk in detail about those yet. But we filed motions in both the criminal court and in the family court on the grounds that this evidence will eliminate any motive that Mr. Doulis would have had to commit any crime associated with his Jennifer.
So I'm guessing then somewhere in that, it says that he'll have equal or joint custody, and it doesn't need to be supervised.
I can't comment on that at this point. You know, there would be there are court orders about what I can.
I got you because it's that's what you want to get out there. So not legally, you can't have it out there right now.
The other development is you know. There was an event last weekend where Mr. Conis went to Mr. Doulis's home under supervision of a private investigator.
This is his girlfriend, or was his girlfriend, and they were both arrested for the evidence tampering charges together, but they have been since separated since the arrest.
That's correct, and she, you know, was stated in the presence of witnesses that she loves Mr. Doulis still, that she does not believe he was involved in Jennifer's disappearance, and that she's sorry that he has been made an object of suspicion. So we filed motions to clarify the conditions of his release. He'd like to be in contact with her, and candidly, given the presumption of innocence, we see no reason why he should not be. These two should be free to live as they see fit. That issue is before the court. We'll see what happens.
Interesting. So she went to his house to get her stuff under the supervision of a private investigator. And
correct. And we had,
I'm sorry.
We had a private investigator of our own there as well, or a person there of our own as well. Mr. Doulis was not at home, so they had no contact with one another. But she had personal belongings and effects that she wanted to pick up, and she did. And while there, she said the things she said, which, of course, are helpful to us. And we'd like very much to talk to her.
When you mean you'd like to talk to her as an attorney, or he would like to talk to her as a boyfriend?
Both.
Gotcha.
Would her attorney allow you to talk to her?
No, I cannot talk to her without her attorney's consent, or if he won't give consent, then she wants to talk to me, she's got to take the step and do that. But I'm not trying to drive a wedge between she and Mr. Bowman. Mr. Doulos has asked me to reach out. He asked me to file the motion that I did. His hope is the two of them can get back together again. And I say, why not?
Do you know if they've had any contact since then? Phone calls, texts, notes?
I do not know of any such contact at all.
Why can't you represent both of them? I'm just curious.
What's that?
Why can't you represent both of them? Like, say, he's like,
conflict
of interest.
We've reached out to inquire whether Mr. Konis would like to enter what's called a joint defense agreement with us, which would mean that we would agree to share fully what each of us has and to present a consistent defense. In conspiracy cases, it is very, very difficult for a client to waive their conflict of interest. A jury could conclude, for example, that one person was involved and not the other. And under the rules of professional responsibility, lawyers, the sole loyalty is to his client, to the exclusion of the world. And so if a client wants to waive a conflict that he or she may have with another with another suspect or another person, the court supervises that decision and asks whether it's the sort of conflict that could be waived. That would be an extremely close call in this case, and I don't know enough about the evidence in this possession to know whether that would be a responsible call. From my point where I sit right now, they do have a consistent defense. Neither are involved. We don't know what's become of Ms. Doulos. She may well have been victim of foul play. We have reason to doubt that she was a victim of foul play at the hands of a third party. We don't know where she is and what happened here.
So that would be the girlfriend's decision. The lawyer can say no, but it's ultimately her decision. Then it would have to go in front of a judge?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the girlfriend, let's talk about this now. You said that she was cleared and police are satisfied that she wasn't involved. But no one else has said that. I haven't heard that from the police. I haven't heard that from her attorney. No one has said anything about that. Do you know that for a fact, or were you just putting that out there?
I wouldn't have said it if I didn't have good reasons to say so.
Okay. So let's talk about this now. There's videotape. They've both been charged because there was enough evidence to show that they were dumping bags, at least a bag or two of things that were found to have the missing mom's blood on them. At this point, would you say it wasn't them? It wasn't her blood on it? What would their defense be on that at this point?
My understanding is that Michelle Traconis didn't know what was in the bag at all and has told that to police. My client's defense will have to await trial. There is an explanation, and I have one, and it's compelling. But unfortunately, we're not at a point where we can yet discuss that. In part, we need to have certain court documents released to the public at large, and we're pursuing that. I understand how it looks from afar, and I understand that it looks like a damning circumstance. Circumstantial evidence is often that way. But Gone Girl, the great novel on circumstantial evidence, tells us, be careful what you wish for. Don't leap to conclusions. In this case, I'm begging people not to leap to conclusions. There is a complete story to tell, and we will tell it in due course.
You brought that up, the Gone Girl scenario, and it seemed to inflame people here that you would suggest that she has staged this. The family had a reaction yesterday, and then they also explained what that a book that she was writing was about, and it wasn't really about that, and it was written before she met Fotis. So how would you, based on what she wrote, conclude that she may have staged all of this?
We're not saying that she's sitting somewhere laughing in the wings, and we'll comment further on the book later in the week, or perhaps next week. Suffice it to say that people should be focusing on how the book ends. whether it was written many years before or not, it has suspicious fingerprints on it of the events in her current life. Some of it's set in New Canaan. Some of it involves a Greek. Some of it involves Farmington. Some of it involves disappointed love expectations and senses of betrayal. And there's a surprise ending, much as I suspect there will be in this case.
Speaking of surprise, any surprise along the way, you think?
I'm not going to say more at this point.
I think you just said there's going to be a surprise ending.
The
alibi for your client, it seems to me that if he had a rock-solid alibi for the day of his disappearance, police would say, well, he's not a suspect in the actual crime. If there was a crime, maybe he was connected somehow, but he can... I think that we would know at this point that he could vouch for his time from point A in the morning to beyond what would be the window. You said in the media that he does have an alibi. Is that an alibi for the entire day or for part of the day?
For most of the day. There's a narrow window of time. He'd have to have had near miraculous powers to accomplish what the state, what people suspect that he's done. As to what the state police are investigating and what they believe and what their working hypothesis is, I simply don't know that. They're not saying. The public at large has reached the conclusion that he's done it, but I note he's not been charged, and that tells me that the prosecution has reasonable doubt to believe that he was involved. Based on what I know, I share that doubt. I don't think he'll be charged with murder.
Based on what's out there now, can you see how the public would do the math on this and come to that conclusion?
Absolutely. I did the same thing when I was a host on your show. Two people, you know, frustrated romantic expectations, a crime of passion. That's the easy solution. And the easy solution is often right, but not always. And the more I've gotten involved in this case, the more I've been stunned by seeing where the evidence leads. Don't convict merely on motive. There has to be opportunity. That is the ability to commit the crime. If you couldn't be there or it's a near miracle, don't ask for a miracle to convict. We try people by the standard of what's reasonable, and the state has to prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt.
So
there are powerful reasons to doubt that Mr. Dulos could have been involved in the actual killing of Jennifer, if in fact she's dead. Based on what we're learning about her, we are entertaining the possibility that her disappearance is not a result of foul play by a third party. What that means, whether she's alive, whether something was staged, whether she staged it, is in our mind an open question at this point.
The alibi, back to that for a second. You said there's a narrow window. I read that the window was 9 to 1:30. Is that the window that he can't prove where he was?
That is part of it. I mean, that's broader than the whole part. A lot depends. You know, we know, for example, if Michelle does not, if charges are dropped against Michelle Traconis and she's permitted to testify, we can eliminate the alibi, the window altogether. Without her testimony, there's about a three and a half hour gap. And, you know, is that enough time to drive from Farmington to New Canaan on a work day? And drive back and engage in a bloody confrontation and dispose of a body and dispose of a car. I don't think so, but a jury might conclude it is. And if you want to convict someone badly enough, you'll draw every inference against them. And the public appetite for conviction here is overwhelming. I'm trying to create some breathing room there. So, you know, there is a window of time. I mean, we think we can account for it right now. The charges against Michelle make her an unavailable witness to us, and we need her.
Has your investigation turned up anything that the public should know?
Yes.
And can we know it now?
No. I need court orders. I need court orders to release certain documents. But among the factors, among the things we've learned is that in the weeks and months prior to her disappearance, she was getting very costly diagnostic medical tests in New York State. We don't know what those were all about. We need to find out what that's all about. I think when you combine that together with the sealed information in court documents, together with the fact that this was a woman with a robust imagination and fascination with death, certain possibilities begin to present themselves, and those possibilities are not inconsistent with a Gone Girl type hypothesis. I don't care what her family and friends say. You know, we've been watching carefully a closed Facebook group that is devoted to this case, an invitation-only group with some 9,000 members. My impression is this group gets itself all heated up, and then somebody goes and anonymously runs to the press to talk trash about FOTUS. Here is my message to that group. If you can't put your name on it, shut up. We will meet these allegations in open court, and I will question any person who has the willingness to take an oath and to try to cast aspersions on Mr. Doulas. We're defending him. We think in the end we know what the verdict will be, and we are confident in our investigation and the results of it.
All right. Well, thank you, Narpass. I appreciate you coming on.
Yep, be well. Bye.
All right. You.
I'm not sure I understand how one could stage blood spatter.
Yeah. But, you know, we got to keep in mind now, he's an attorney, and he's going to do what's right for his client.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So, if you think about where the conversation was before he took the job and where the conversation is now,
mm-hmm.
he's doing his job.
Yes, mm-hmm. he is.
Now, I am friends with him, but I have told him that I don't want him to, I want him to do well, but I want there to be so much evidence this guy goes away. I am one of those people
yeah.
in the public who feel like, all right, we already know who did mm-hmm. it, and then we just need to connect the dots. So, but that was Attorney Norm Pattis. He's defending the husband in the missing mom case, and there were two bits of news in there, maybe three or four, but the two big takeaways were motions were filed yesterday to release the custody findings, and then they're going to be filing a motion to clarify the release of both the husband and the girlfriend because they would like to get back together.
Yeah.